Welcome to Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros, brought to you live by the Tough Talk Radio Network in Houston, Texas. Now here's your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Good morning and welcome to Power Talk. This is Linda Ballesteros and I am your host today. And we're going to have a great show today. Thank you for stopping by. I always appreciate some when you take time out of your busy day to spend that time with me, because I know that time is that one commodity that we can't get back as much as we would like to duplicate that somehow. We just can't get that time back. It slips away so quickly, and I can't believe it's summer already here. The kids are out of school, and the freeways are much lighter. That's a positive note for those of us that don't have kids in the house. So just to get started with the day, I'd love for you to go by and check out Tough Talk Radio Network's website. That's where you're going to find all the information about my show and about all the other hosts and their shows as well. We've got some great hosts and a lot of different topics, everything from real estate to holistic health, and everything in between. I tell you, it's a great selection of shows. And also check out the little iTunes icon on the website. This way you can follow all of your favorite shows and not miss one episode, and that makes it easy for you as well. Visit us on Facebook. We're building our community out there, and we've got some great Facebook activity going on. So visit us out on Facebook and like us. That's Tough Talk Radio Network on Facebook. And I'd love for you to go by my site as well, lindaballesteros.com, and check out my two blogs. One is Golden Nuggets, and that's business tips for those of us out there that are always looking for ways to expand our business. And the other is Powerful Voice to Grow, and that's personal development. If you're interested in contributing, I'd love to have you as a guest blogger. This is a great way for you to expand your audience, and for me to add additional value to my followers as well. So I always love having guest bloggers on either of my blog sites. You know, Workshop Wednesday is Wednesdays are a very busy day, because Workshop Wednesday follows the Power Talk show. And that's the show that Tony Gambone and I co-host together. And we interview experts in a lot of different areas that us as small business owners, we need the help. And that's the reason that Tony and I actually started the show, is because we needed advice, we needed help, we needed to learn more. And that's one of the things as a small business owner, that you always have to stay ahead of the game, because if not, you're going to miss out, because people are always looking for the companies that are cutting edge. They're using the technology. And if you're not using technology to its fullest, you may be perceived as maybe a dinosaur, if you will, because it's everybody wants to do business with the companies that they feel that are on top of their game, that are staying the leaders in their industry. So be sure to check us out at 10:30 at Central Time, right after my show here. And you just never know who's going to be a guest on our show, Workshop Wednesday. If you are listening on the Internet and you'd like to call in, ask a question, then be sure to give us a call. That's 347-989-1363. That's 347-989-1363. And press option 1. That lets my producer know that you have a question. It's like raising your virtual hand, if you will. So let's not delay any further. I would love to bring my guest up this morning. And my guest this morning is Marlis Arnold, and she is the founder of Exhibit Marketers Cafe. Now, if you're out there and you have ever participated in an expo or a trade show, you know that that is not easy work, folks. And a lot of times it can be very expensive. So if you don't do it right, then you might as well have just thrown the dollars out the window. But Marlis can help walk us through how to benefit from the show and how the show isn't just about the show. There's also the pre-show and the post-show activities as well. So I'd like to introduce you this morning to Marlis Arnold. Good morning, Marlis.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're here. You know, Marlis, I just have these nightmares of past trade shows that I've participated in where I spent a lot of money, wrote a lot of big checks, and I planned. I had the prettiest table there, and I had the greatest candy on my table, Marlis, and I just didn't get anything from it. Does anybody else have that problem?
Oh, I think that's a really common problem, Linda. I think the biggest problem is that people, and you mentioned this in the introduction, that people tend to think of the exhibit or the trade show as being a, you know, 2 or 3 day event or whatever. They just show up and do the show and then that's it. And there's so much work that needs to be done before. It's a whole strategy and a whole process. And mm-hmm. So you've got to think things through ahead of time and really have a good solid strategy for what you're going to do to draw people into your booth, how you're going to interact with them in your booth, all of those kinds of things. And not just, you know, you can have the most beautiful booth at the expo, like you said, and if that's all it does is just look pretty, you're not really accomplishing anything. The whole idea is it's got to be not only just the look, but it's also got to be, there's got to be substance behind it. Not that you didn't have that, but, you know, there's got to be something there, some kind of a message that draws them in.
Mm-hmm. So when should we start planning for the trade show? You say that it's not the 2 to 3 day event, but when should we start planning it?
As soon as you decide you're going to participate. And actually, on some level, starting even before that, when you're starting to think about what shows would be, you know, would make sense for you to participate in, mm-hmm. you've got to start thinking about that. You know, figuring out where is your audience gathering? What shows do they go to? Where might they be? What would make the most sense for you to, you know, what event would make the most sense for you to be at? And then really start to build your strategy around that. Once you know who the audience is, and you can find out a lot of that kind of information from the show organizer either on their website or in their promotional materials, or just have a conversation with them and find out, you know, who's their audience, how many people do they expect. And I always caution exhibitors to take that with a grain of salt because your show organizer a lot of times will give you, of course, best case scenario, but just kind of get a ballpark of how many people to expect, and then you can build from there and figure out what's going to be a realistic goal as far as number of people to talk to, and then how to design your booth to really speak to them.
Mm. So prior to the show, is the exhibitor going? I mean, is the show coordinator going to do all the advertising, or should I have to do anything? Because if I've paid that kind of money for a table, I shouldn't have to do any advertising, right?
Well, that's a common perception, but unfortunately, it's not all up to them. I mean, you definitely want your show organizer to be doing promotions, and if they're not, then that's not the show to be in the first place. But, obviously what their job is to get people through the doors. Their job is not to drive people to your specific booth. That's got to be your job. So it really takes a combination of both, where the show is doing promotions to get people there, and then you need to do promotions to attract people to your booth, to entice them, intrigue them, and make them want to come and talk to you.
Mm. So it's not just about getting people through the door of the event. It's also giving them almost like a map to get to your specific table.
Right, right. And giving them a reason to come, telling them what they can expect or what the reward will be if they come to your booth. And that could be, you know, if you're giving something away, you know, tell them what it is, or, you know, or if you're going to be doing a special demo or demonstrating a new product or whatever it is, you know, give them what is the reason, what's the call to action, why should they want to come? And I always tell exhibitors that if you exhibit without doing any kind of pre-show promotion, it's like throwing a party and neglecting to send out any invitations.
Oh, shoot, there won't be anybody there.
You know, you're just hoping they'll magically show up, you know. And so you've got to do that promotion and get people interested. You know, I've done a lot of different methods. I guess I should back up. How I got into being a trade show marketing consultant, I had been an exhibitor. And I, as an entrepreneur, I had exhibited in a lot of local expos, chamber, you know, business shows, women's expos, home shows, things like that. And so I had had some experience that way. I had also helped to produce some small shows. So I'd seen it from the show organizer side as well. And so, you know, there's so many different little nuances and things that you can do and ways that you can draw people in. And as far as promotions, you know, sometimes all it takes is just a simple postcard or a phone call to people that maybe you've been trying to get in front of anyway. And just letting them know. They may not even be aware of whatever the expo is that you're participating in.
Right. You know, that's really what has happened to me several times is I've heard someone in networking saying, oh, I was at a specific show the other day, last weekend, and I said I had not even heard of it. So
right.
I didn't even know that the show was going on, and they had a booth there. I would have gladly showed up and supported them.
Had they invited you?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so how do you were talking about sending out invitations or making the phone calls. You know, now that the internet is out there, that certainly helps a lot as well, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. And I know you were talking earlier about using technology to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is when you exhibit, it's not a separate, a whole separate piece of your marketing. It's a part of your overall marketing. So incorporate everything together. You know, if you already do a customer newsletter, if you already do social media marketing, you know, email marketing, all the different kinds of tools that you're already using, use those same things to promote your activity at the trade show.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's easy enough to just add a few lines about your event to your newsletter that goes out on a regular basis anyway.
Right. You know, tweet mm-hmm. about it. Say, hey, come see us at booth, you know, 614 mm-hmm. at the ABC show. You know,
right.
Things like that. It's really simple. Just incorporate it into your standard marketing routine. But I think so often, and probably what happened with your friend that you were talking about, they were so focused on the logistics of actually, you know, getting there. And like you said, it's a lot of work. You got to go and you got to get everything set up, and then you're standing there and your feet hurt and your back hurts. And, you know, and there's so many physical things involved that a lot of times it's the strategy that gets neglected. And so that's really where my passion lies, is helping the exhibitors so that they don't skip over the strategy and miss all these great results that they could be having.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I tell you what, Marlis, we need to take a real quick commercial break. When we come back, let's talk about what do we do when we're in the booth? You know, what do we talk about? How do we draw people into the booth? Okay, we've got a real pretty booth. I've got a pretty tablecloth, and I've got a nice little flower arrangement there, and I've got a place where people can sign up for stuff. So when we come back, folks, we're going to hear from Marlis on what to and what not to do when you're in your expo booth. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
What is term life insurance? It is basically a financial protection plan for your family or business if you pass away. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases that you can make that you will personally never use, but you've got to have it to protect your family or business. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the absolute best possible rates for term life insurance policies of $500K or more. For term life insurance policies of $500K or more, call the Term Lifeline today. 1-877-665-4275 and let them know you were referred by Tough Talk Radio. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500K or more, and we also have great rates for smokers, tobacco users. So call today at 1-877-665-4275. Again, 1-877-665-4275. Or email us at termlifeline@gmail.com.
Are you concerned about your job? Concerned about losing it? Concerned about being repositioned in the workplace? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, or even if you just want to be a part of the workplace improvement revolution, then join the conversation with Charlie and his guests every Monday at 7 p.m. Central on Corporate Talk with Charlie Labosco, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Someone special, someone who is ready and willing to listen, someone who will allow you to share your own personal story. That someone is Linda Ballesteros. Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros is an extraordinary forum for empowerment, a safe, warm, and welcoming environment for heartfelt discussion. Networking strategist, motivational speaker, self-improvement advocate, and author, Linda Ballesteros is engaging and approachable. She helps others realize their self-worth and develop their true potential. Get to know and love Linda like so many others who have already experienced the positive, caring atmosphere she cultivates and encourages. She seeks to help people open the gateway to their ultimate self and explore what is possible together. Linda deeply understands the unique person that you are. Discover the energy. Discover the exuberance. Discover Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros. Find out more at powertalkswithlindaballesteros.com.
Welcome back to Power Talk. We're talking about trade shows and expos this morning with Marlis Arnold. And Marlis, you know, we were talking a little bit about sending out invitations, getting people to your table. Now what? I'm exhausted from setting up. And what do I need to do to draw people in? Is there a certain way that I need to have my table set up? What do I need to have on the table to draw people into my booth?
Well, actually, there are a lot of different things, a lot of different ways that you can draw people in. One of the first things, as you mentioned, is the way you set up your actual display. And I always tell exhibitors to set everything up and then walk out into the aisle and look at it from the attendee's perspective. Because a lot of times we tend to get so excited and we take everything we possibly can do or sell or provide and put all this stuff in the booth, and then you step out in the aisle and it's like, it looks like a flea market. You know?
Yes, so I've seen those.
And I don't think most people do that intentionally. I think it's just they're trying so hard to make sure that they've got all their bases covered. And, you know, if it's that cluttered and that busy, as somebody walks down the aisle, I always say it's like, you know, driving down the interstate at 65 miles an hour and you see a billboard and it's got like a whole paragraph of text on it. Well, there's no way you're going to figure out as you blaze by what that's all about. Same thing, if there's so much stuff in your booth, people aren't going to be able to figure out what you do as they walk down the aisle or, you know, if they even want to talk to you. So it has to be appealing to the eye, first of all. And that means it needs to be neat and clean and well organized. But there also has to be a focal point. And, again, a lot of times, especially if it's somebody who does something that I would say is more of a portfolio-type business, and that could be something in the art world, but it could also be somebody like a landscaper who wants to display pictures of all the different projects they've done. And they put up 16 different pictures on the back wall of the booth.
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, it's not going to draw attention. You've got to have that one dynamic image or that big, you know, bullseye thing that really draws people's attention. And so I think that's one of the biggest areas where exhibitors can, you know, change the way that they entice people in just by the way the booth looks. Another area is what I call multisensory exhibiting, and this is one of my absolute favorite topics because most exhibitors only use two senses, sight and sound. You know, they've got the visual, and then they stand there and talk to you. Well, what if you incorporated those other three senses of smell, taste, and touch? You know, how much more interactive, how much more engaging would that booth be?
Right.
And you know, if somebody happens to sell something that, you know, isn't a food product, you know, doesn't have any taste, they go, well, I can't incorporate smell and taste. Well, yes, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. I mean, you can have, there's all kinds of sensory tools that are available now that you can have scents in your booth. You know, for example, something that would tie in with what you do. So say you sell a kid's product. Well, you could have the scent of, you know, bubblegum or cotton candy or something in your booth that would kind of, you know, or popcorn or something that, you know, just kind of makes you feel like a kid again.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I helped someone with a booth one time, and she had an air freshener that would squirt out the fragrance every so often. And it was battery run, so she put it under her table.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many people would walk by and they would stop and say, what is that smell? And, you know, it made them stop in front of the table for that split second so you could start a conversation with them.
Right, right. It takes care of that difficult, awkward moment of you trying to start the conversation. It's done
exactly.
That job for you.
Exactly.
One of the best, in fact, this is an example that I included in my book, Build a Better Trade Show Image, and I absolutely love this example. It was a company called Superior Communications, and they sell cell phone accessories and equipment, and they were exhibiting at a cell phone industry show. You know, so you can imagine how exciting that show must be. You just walk down the aisle, and it's just, you know, booth after booth of just, you know, racks of stuff, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I haven't personally been to that show, but I can imagine it's probably pretty, you know, generic.
Right.
Well, they took the approach. They called their booth Camp Superior, and their theme was that working with us is like R&R. And so they had their whole booth was a campground theme. So they had a fake tree. They had a little fake campfire. They had the scent of pine and fresh-cut grass. They had little sound machines with crickets and frogs. They even had, for their conference area where they would take people in and sit down and have conversations, they used a pop-up camper. I mean, they had, you know, obviously a huge booth. But can you imagine walking that show and you see all, you know, booth A, B, C, D, and they all look just like, and then you come into this campground.
Wow.
It's like an oasis. I mean, I'm sure everybody spent more time in their booth just because it was comfortable and inviting.
Just because it was interesting.
They
had the same product everybody else had. So you have to make yourself different somehow. So that makes me think also about the people that you have manning your booth. If it's not just you, if you do have other people, should there be some type of a game plan before the day of the event?
Oh, most definitely. I think it's one of the most dangerous things to do to just, you know, tell somebody, hey, you're going to help staff this booth and then just throw them in there. I mean, that's, you know, that's like throwing them to the lions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if somebody, and a lot of times people think, well, this, you know, this person is a salesperson. They know what they're doing. It's a completely different environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and honestly, I know from a lot of the large companies that I've worked with across the country, the exhibit managers will tell me they hate having the salespeople in the booth because they are not the best booth staffers. And so it's a completely different mindset. You know, a salesperson or somebody who's not used to being in a booth, they're probably used to having longer conversations, you know, to really building that rapport and talking to people. And in a trade show environment, you've got to cut that down to like a 3 to 5 minute conversation tops so you can move on to the next person. And
well,
know,
because they also don't want to hang around that much, that long at one booth. There are too many things to see. It's sort of like trying to get someone's attention at an amusement park.
Exactly, Exactly. And so what you're trying to do is, again, just giving them the basics and getting them interested enough to where you're building them up to whatever that next step is. And that's where, you know, we talk about that it's not over when the show ends. You've got to do the follow-up as well.
So I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick commercial break here, Marlis, because I think this is a good time to break. When we come back, let's talk about that follow-up. What should that be? And should you think about the follow-up before you ever show up the day to the event? So, folks, we're going to be right back with more from Marlis Arnold.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
They say everybody has a story. A special few have the gift of bringing stories to life. When you absolutely can't get your book from your head to the written page, you need the special services of a ghostwriter. You will be amazed at what happens when you leave the telling of your story to a writer with the ability to reach inside and capture joy and laughter and pain and transform it all into your words, your raw emotions, just waiting to explode into reality. When waiting to tell your story is no longer an option, trust a ghostwriter that can deliver on a promise. Shirley Carney is that writer you can trust. Contact Shirley at ShirleyWintersCarney@yahoo.com or give her a call at 832-492-4088.
If you're ready to transform your business from one that is constantly starved for new customers to one that is constantly expanding, I've got great news for you. In her new book, Your Pot of Gold is a Handshake Away, entrepreneur, business coach, radio show host, and motivational speaker Linda Ballesteros will show you step-by-step how to quickly grow your business through referrals. Let Linda lead you to financial greatness. Order your copy today at lindaballesteros.com.
Welcome back to Power Talk, and again, we are talking about expos and trade shows today, which is, you either love it or you hate it, and you're either really good at it or you're not. So, Marlis Arnold is my guest today, and she is telling us how we can benefit and leverage trade shows and expos to their fullest. So, Marlis, we were talking about getting ready to talk about the follow-up. Now, do you plan the follow-up the day after the event? When should the follow-up plan actually come into place?
Well, the follow-up plan needs to be, again, a strategy that's put together before you ever get to the show. Because I think one reason that follow-up doesn't happen, and by the way, trade show industry statistics have been gathered that have shown that about 80% of leads are never followed up.
Wow.
Which is just really sad because, I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, that's why you're going.
Right.
So, but the problem, I think, why that happens is because so many exhibitors, you know, they're so exhausted by the time they've actually gone through the show, and they've missed out on, you know, however many other things they needed to be doing during those days, you know, back at the office or dealing with their current clients or whatever. And so once the show's over, it's just kind of like they breathe this huge sigh of relief and then they jump back in to try to catch up on what they've missed. And what they forget is that the longer you let those leads just sit there, they're going to just, you know, like a plant that you don't water, they're just going to kind of shrivel up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to have that plan set in place so that it's really easy to implement after the show's over. And the other thing is, too, that the follow-up needs to tie back into what you've done at the booth. And one of the primary booth skills is listening. And if you've done a good job of listening when you've got people coming into your booth and talking with you and you take notes as you're talking to them, which is perfectly okay, by the way, You know, so you take really good notes about what they're interested in or how they would like you to follow up, and then you follow up accordingly.
So you already have a little information about what they might be interested in before you even follow up with them. And it's less of a cold call because they drop by and you talk to them. It's, I kind of compare this to follow up when you're out networking, because this is kind of a big networking event, right?
It is. It is. And it's definitely not a cold call, because you've already had that initial interaction with them, and you've already built a little bit of a rapport, and maybe, you know, maybe they really were, you know, just really clicked with you and really felt like they were connected and really enjoyed talking with you. Then you've got this really warm, open door to walk through. So it shouldn't be intimidating feeling like it's a cold call, because it's not. You know, and there's a lot of different ways to follow up, but there's also a lot of really bad ways, and I've seen a lot of really bad ways, and I want to just share with you a couple of things of not what not to do. I mean, it's just, first of all, like I said, listening. If the attendee, the person in your booth, has said to you, hey, could you please send me more information, and then you call them 2 days later, you know, that's not what they asked for.
Right.
I remember one exhibit or one show that I went to, one of the exhibitors, I had told them, you know, for me, a lot of times I'm just gathering information for my clients. It's not like something that I have an urgent need for. And so I had told this particular company to, you know, oh, please send me a packet of information so I could keep on file for future clients. I bet between phone and email, I bet I heard from them 5 times in the first week and a half.
Whoa.
And it was, by that point, I was like, I don't want to do business with you at all. You know, leave me alone. And they never did.
And you certainly want to turn your client on to them, because then your client would come back to you and go, man, I was bombarded by these folks.
Exactly, exactly. And it made me feel like they were desperate. Like, you know, hey, was I the only warm lead you got at this show, you know? And so, you know, they ended up, and they never did send me what I had asked for originally. I mean, they just kept having, the salesperson just kept calling me and stuff. And they could never get it through their head that, you know, this is not what I want. And then I think that probably the all-time worst follow-up, I got a phone call, a voicemail from this lady, and she said, I'm just making all these calls. I just need to get all these calls out of the way.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay, well, you really want to work with me, don't you?
I feel important, don't I?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, boy, I feel special. I really want to hire you.
Wow. And more than likely, she was someone that they hired or someone that they said, hey, would you help me with this? More than likely, it wasn't the owner of the company.
No. No. And I think, you know, like we said, it's probably because she did feel like, you know, hey, I've been at the show for 3 days. I've got all this other stuff to do, but I got to get these calls out of the way so I can get back to my real work. And what she didn't realize was, you know, from that phone call, even if I had been slightly interested in working with them, I probably wasn't going to anymore.
Right.
It's amazing how often that follow-up piece can just destroy all of the other work that you've done, either by not doing it at all or by doing it improperly.
Mm-hmm. And the follow-up is not just the week after the event. Those people should be put into a system where you follow up with them periodically, obviously not 5 times in just a few days, but they need to be part of your pipeline now, and they need to be in a system so that you touch them periodically, whether it's with a newsletter, whether it's with a, hey, how are you? You have to continue to build those relationships even after the initial event follow-up.
Exactly, and that goes back to what I said earlier, where exhibit marketing is not a completely separate piece. It's part of your integrated overall marketing systems. And so that's just another way to gather leads instead of doing direct mail or instead of doing networking or instead of doing all these other things. That's where the lead initiated, was at a trade show or an expo. And then, like you said, then from there they become just like any other lead, and you start working with them that way.
Marla, you have got so much information, and I know that you can make a huge difference in the next trade show that some of our listeners attend. Do you have, I know that you mentioned a book, I think you've written a couple of books?
I have written, like I said, my first book was Build a Better Trade Show Image, and it's basically a how-to guide that walks you all the way from setting goals and choosing shows all the way through before, during, and after what to do. I also created what I call the Exhibitor Ed Success System, which is a self-study system that takes all of the things that I talk about in the book. It takes and expands those into more in-depth and with worksheets and checklists and things where you can actually develop your own strategy and your own plan.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Because a lot of times we don't even know what the checklist is.
Right. And that's, you know, that's the kind of thing, like I said, when I was starting out, I didn't know these things. So when I wrote Build a Better Trade Show Image, my goal was to create the book I wish I would have had when I was starting out as an exhibitor.
I find that so many times that we're in business doing something that we couldn't find when we needed it. So, you know, for you to create something that would have helped you, you definitely know that there's a need out there. Now, do you offer workshops as well, Marla?
I do workshops. I teach a lot of exhibitor workshops across the country. I've worked with everybody from, you know, the small exhibitors doing local home shows or bridal shows all the way up to doing training for some of the top 10 largest trade shows in the entire country. So I've worked with all different kinds of exhibitors. I love working with all different kinds of exhibitors because even though they're all different, all their needs and all their issues are still the same. I mean, whether you're a small exhibitor in a 10 by 10 foot square space or even a tabletop, all the way up to exhibitors that have thousands of square feet, that there's still the same kinds of mistakes and things that can be easily corrected once people realize what they're doing and what can be changed.
Absolutely. Marla, if they wanted to hear, find out more about you, your book, your service, your home study program, which I love that idea of having a home study program as well, where would they find that information?
They can go to my website, which is exhibitmarketers.com. And that has an S on the end, exhibitmarketerscafe.com. And that's actually, it's got all of my information there, all my different products and what I call success tools. The cafe itself is structured as a membership program, and that's for either basic exhibitors or advanced exhibitors. We have two different tracks. And I do different topics every month. For example, this month, the strategy of the month is speak their language. So we're talking about how to really connect with the attendees and to speak to them in the way that that really gets their attention. But, you know, so that's the membership piece. But then, like I said, there's a lot of other different types of learning tools and workshops and things available. And then there's also on exhibitmarketerscafe.com, there's a, in the menu at the top, there's a button that says free resources. And you can go there and see a lot of different things that I have. I have a 7 Mistakes Exhibitors Make video series and different things that you can click on to learn some of these quick basic techniques.
And some of it is common sense, but we do kind of get wrapped up in the logistics of the setting up process of the booth, and we overlook some of that. And if someone points it out, it's obvious, but we're so wrapped up in, like I said, the logistics of the event, who's coming, what time, that sometimes we miss some of those simple little things that make a huge difference.
Right. Well, I always say it's not rocket science. It's not that difficult. It just takes a thought process. And in, like you said, it is so easily overlooked because people are just, you know, they've got their checklist of, okay, I need to, you know, get this box packed and get this shipped to the booth or get this set up in the booth or whatever, and then they miss all the different strategies. So that's really where my focus and my passion is teaching the strategies and the psychology of exhibiting, so to speak.
Right, exactly. Marlis, one more time, how can they get in touch with you?
My website is exhibitmarketerscafe.com. And like I said, there's lots of different tools on there, and there's also a contact button. If they would like to send me a personal message, they can do it that way as well.
Perfect. Marla, thank you so much for sharing your advice and your wisdom and your knowledge to our listeners. I know I've learned a lot, and I've also been receiving your 7 mistakes emails and great, valuable information. Folks, be sure to go out to Marla's website, Exhibit Marketers, that's with an S, exhibitmarketerscafe.com, and check out her 7 mistakes. It's an email. You'll get it, 7 times, I guess?
It's actually mistakes? 3 videos, so there's multiple tips in each video.
Okay, very good. So, again, thanks so much, Marla. I appreciate you coming out and joining us this morning.
Thank you, Linda. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Folks, we're going to take a real quick commercial break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about applying some of the things that Marla talked about as that you would do with an expo. We're going to talk about how you would apply that same thing and that same philosophy when you're out networking, because I know a lot of you do more networking than you do expos, but I'm telling you that they're like brothers and sisters. They are from the same family. So we're going to be right back to talk more about how networking is similar to an expo after this commercial break.
Having a daughter is one of the most precious gifts a mother will receive in a lifetime. Sometimes it helps to have a roadmap in the parenting process. The lesson plan written by Gwen Gistarb is a dependable tool that will assist you on your journey. It includes 10 interesting segments of poems, metaphors, short stories, lessons, and activities that mothers and daughters will find exciting and informative. The lesson plan is available at iUniverse.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and most other internet bookstores across the country. To find out more about Gwen Gistarb and the lesson plan, go to GwenGistarb.net. Thank you, and enjoy the gift of your daughter. She is God's gift for a lifetime.
Everyone needs someone special, someone who is ready and willing to listen, someone who will allow you to share your own personal story. That someone is Linda Ballesteros. Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros is an extraordinary forum for empowerment, a safe, warm, and welcoming environment for heartfelt discussion. Networking strategist, motivational speaker, self-improvement advocate, and author, Linda Ballesteros is engaging and approachable. She helps others realize their self-worth and develop their true potential. Get to know and love Linda like so many others who have already experienced the positive, caring atmosphere she cultivates and encourages. She seeks to help people open the gateway to their ultimate self and explore what is possible together. Linda deeply understands the unique person that you are. Discover the energy. Discover the exuberance. Discover Power Talks with Linda Ballesteros. Find out more at powertalkswithlindaballesteros.com.
Welcome back to Power Talk. The topic today has been expos and trade shows, and Marlis Arnold has been sharing some of the tips and techniques that she has learned as being a vendor and an exhibitor, and also being someone that organized an event, and how you can leverage an expo to grow your business. But so many people, I was shocked when she said 80%, that's staggering, 80% of the leads that people get in a trade show are never followed up on. Never followed up on. That's staggering to me because that's the purpose of the event. That's the whole purpose. But, you know, the same thing applies when you're out networking. I cannot tell you how many times I have been to a networking event and I have reached out to someone that I met and they never responded to my email. Now, this is, you know, that tells me one or two things, that they really didn't like me as much as I thought they did when we were talking at the event, or they're just not reliable. And I certainly would never refer any of my clients to someone if they're not going to even respond to me. Networking is one of those things as well, that it's, even though it's all about the event, it's really less about the event. I spoke to someone just yesterday who is networking like a crazy person and having absolutely no one-on-ones. I always tell anyone that I coach, never be confused. Never be confused, because business is never done at a networking event. Just like business is never done at an expo unless you have an item that you're selling right there on the spot. But if you've got a service, business is never done at an expo or a networking event. All of that happens in your follow-up and your one-on-ones, because people are not going to do business with you. They're not going to use your service if they don't know you better. If they haven't had time to build that relationship with you. So networking is one of those events that are just meant for you to casually meet someone. And then it's all up to you as to what you do from that point on. And there again, you want to have a strategy. Marla talked about having a strategy when you go, when you approach your trade show or your expo. You have to have a strategy when you go out networking. Because if not, there again, you're just showing up with no plan. And I can assure you, if you have no plan, then nothing is going to happen. If you don't have a target, I can assure you, you will never hit it. So having a strategy, and what do I mean by that? I mean, be selective and be deliberate with which events you decide to attend. Just because you're attending 3 events a day, 5 days a week, and you know who you are because I've been there. Just because you're attending more events than the person next to you, it does not mean that you have more business. You can attend 1 event a week and have more business than the person who attends networking events every day. So be more strategic with the events that you decide to attend. Make sure that they are your market, just like Marlis was saying. Do some research. If you're doing an expo, you want to make sure that the people that walk in front of your booth are people that might be interested in your product or service. Same thing applies. When you network, you want to make sure that those who attend that networking event would be someone interested in what you do. Because otherwise, you're going to be trying to convince someone all night long that your product is the best, if they even understand what your product is. So be strategic lay out your, I would challenge everyone, if you are listening to me and you do any networking, take a day off. Take a day off from networking and sit down and look at all of the events that you go to. Write it out. Write out who you meet there. Who the event attracts. Is it a certain industry? Is it a certain size business? Does that meet your target market? If it does, the next question is, have you gotten any business from it? If you haven't, then you might want to rethink that group, because the flavor of the group may be that everybody's there to sell their stuff and they're not really interested in buying yours. Also, which groups have you had more one-on-ones with? Which groups are more open to meeting each other outside of the event? That's important as well. There again, if they're not wanting to do one-on-ones, if the people you're networking with at the event are not wanting to do one-on-ones with you, that means all they want to do is come to the event, and maybe they just see it as social. Maybe it's a mixer, and they just see that it's a great way to have some fun. And that's fine, as long as you know that's what everyone else is expecting. They're not expecting to do business. So you might want to rethink that group. Get very focused about where you spend your time. I said at the top of the hour that time is that one commodity you cannot get back. So spend your networking time wisely. And I assure you that it will pay back. You will not be as exhausted. You will be able to think more clearly. You will not be running all over the place at trying to attend all these different events. And the results will be better, because the people you will meet will be more of the, that will be a better match for you. So that's just a little tidbit to think about when you're getting ready to plan your networking week. Take a real good look at it. See if it really aligns with things that you're trying to accomplish. And see if it is worth all the time and effort that you're putting in. Because there again, folks, as a small business owner, I know that there are a lot of things waiting back at your office for you to do. So if you can spend some more time in building your business with the people that you know will be good referral partners, then it's time well spent. Spending time is just like spending money. If it's not well spent, then it's certainly a waste. So I just wanted to leave you with a thought of the day, the power thought of the week, and that is the main difference between a skill and a talent is a lot of practice. So if you want to be a skillful exhibitor, you're going to have to do a lot of practice. And you have to do a lot of studying and be more strategic. If you want to be a, you want to be really good at being a networker, you want to build that skill, then you're going to have to do a lot of it, but do it with a strategic plan. So I appreciate everybody showing up today and joining me on Power Talk, and I look forward to seeing you next week, same time, same place. Thanks a lot.
You have been listening to Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you would like to be a sponsor or a guest or find out information on how to become a host, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.